Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap, screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Adam Carter in for Chad on this Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. It is Twins Ticket Tuesday, and that means before the show is over, you're going to hear that Twins sounder that is unique to the Chad Hartman Show. And if you are the 728th caller, you will get a four-pack of tickets to a week from Friday, August 28th, when the Twins host the Chicago White Sox, the Southsiders, in a pivotal division series. Hopefully it's pivotal. That Friday is also Yacht Rock Night at Target Field, featuring live Yacht Rock music, $2 beers, snacks, and hot dogs. Tickets available now at twins.com/tickets. Twins Ticket Tuesday, always driven by Luther Kia of Bloomington. Visit the new showroom today or always at LutherKiaofBloomington.com. Trying to get in touch with former Governor Arnie Carlson, and hopefully we'll do that before the show is over, but things happen sometimes, miscommunication, and it's okay. I was reminded of something today that happened 16 years ago today. Actually, I looked at it. It was actually yesterday, but I think it was a two-day event. And I'll give you a chance to think about that. So this would have been August 17th/18th of 2010. Something unique happening to Minnesota and something in the sports world. I'll give you a beat to think about it. And it leads me to this question I'm going to ask you right now. Either in somebody you know's life or somebody, a celebrity's life, an athlete's life, when has somebody come back when they shouldn't have come back, when they stuck around too long? And here's why I'm asking that. On this day in 2010, do you remember? I was still a news reporter at WCCO Radio, and I was waiting at downtown St. Paul Airport because we thought that Brett Favre would be flying back into the Twin Cities. He had been picked up in Mississippi. I believe it was Jared Allen, Ryan Longwell, another on-air show meeting. Should we just talk about this on air?
Yeah, Governor Carlson should be calling in any second.
Okay.
We're having trouble connecting on his phone, but he's calling us right now.
Well, let's do this. Should we? Let's get him on, and I'll save it. I'll save that conversation. Live radio, folks. Sometimes things work out. We have to shuffle things around. I'll bring that topic back. But the reason we wanted former Governor Arnie Carlson on the show is obviously he has been a vocal opponent of mining near the Boundary Waters for many years. And now with this news today that Governor Walz has signed this executive order prohibiting new permitting for mines, we wanted to go to Governor Carlson, who has been very critical of Governor Walz. Governor Carlson, thank you so much for the time today and joining us with a laugh. I appreciate that. I'm the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. All right, your reaction to Governor Walz's actions today, I guess victory, relief, or what took so long?
Well, wonderful. Absolutely delighted. we have to come to grips with the enormous harm that comes from sulfide mining. And right now there's three projects, and Governor Walz, much to his credit, has knocked one of them out, and that still leaves two, and they have the potential to release arsenic and mercury into the waters of the Great Lakes and the Mississippi River, and that will affect the drinking water of over 60 million people. So we have to take care. The medical community for over a dozen years has been petitioning Minnesota government, Democrats and Republicans, to please include in the mining laws a health impact assessment. And it has never been done. There hasn't even been a single hearing by the legislature, again, Democrat or Republican, on the subject. And that has to end right now. And I hope the governor's step opens the door to public discussion and some real improvements in how we permit others to work with our water.
So this would be an examination of the physical health of people who live in that area, as opposed to just the damage it would do environmentally. This would be actually the harm it would cause people who live in that area. What don't people know about that you think they should know?
Well, what the Minnesota medical community is deeply concerned about, and this includes the University of Minnesota, the Mayo Clinic, they want a health impact study to make sure that our drinking water is pure and it's healthy. There has never, ever been a sulfide mining operation that has not caused irreparable environmental damage. And that quote, by the way, comes from Walter Mondale. And unfortunately, what's also entered into the picture is the role of big money. And let's not kid ourselves, the American political system is very heavily influenced by the power of moneyed interests. And as a matter of fact, one of the mines, New Range copper nickel mine, is owned by Glencore. And I believe it was in 2022 that they pled guilty in U.S. federal court to charges of bribery of public officials and market manipulation, and agreed to a fine of $1.1 billion. And yet we in Minnesota are allowing them to seek a permit, allowing them to potentially harm Lake Superior and therefore the entire Great Lakes system, and yet we don't have a single public hearing, either in the legislature or any reforms being submitted by the governor. None.
When you were governor, where was this issue? Did you face were they trying to do this when you were governor, or what has changed from that time until now?
What a curious question. My wife asked me the same question. So I did look it up. No, this thing really started back around 2005, 2006. And you may recall the first episode involved the Land Exchange Board when Rebecca Otto was state auditor. And she voted against the land exchange that permitted what then has become known as the Polymet mine from being able to acquire state lands. And for that, she was frankly drummed out of office. That's how powerful the mining interests are. She paid a tremendous price, and I hail her courage. But it goes back roughly to 2005. The medical community became a strong spokesman over the last 12 years.
You have been extremely critical of Governor Walz for his past decisions and his past actually, cozying up to these mining companies. Is this action too little too late from him?
No, fortunately it's not. The real question is, will the rest of the Democratic Party and hopefully the Republican Party pick up on this and say no? The protection of Minnesota's healthy water is paramount over all else. Right now, about 53% of our waters are impaired, and that's a study that comes from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. So over half our waters are already lost, and we cannot afford any further damage to them. So I hope both political parties will say no. The health and well-being of Minnesotans is absolutely paramount, and it's certainly a lot more important than campaign contributions.
What are the chances that that happens, though? I mean, I don't see any avenue right now in this country to say an appetite for, like, really reforming political contributions and siding with companies over people. I don't see an end to that.
Well, it's a tough road, but it's either that or we don't have a democracy anymore, and frankly, we don't have a country. I mean, that's really what's at stake. This election is unbelievably important. It's up to us, the people, to sharply question our candidates. What's interesting about this interview is that it's been with me, a former elected official, and not with the current elected officials who are seeking re-election. Isn't it interesting how Governor Walz took action, and yet all those seeking re-election or seeking election have been silent?
Yeah. Or complaining against it, saying that this is the wrong move.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, well, Lisa Damoth saying that this is the wrong move. Of course, you know, Tom Emmer, Pete Stauber, they think this is...
Oh, my gosh.
They think this is just playing politics, that this is Governor Walz, who's a lame duck governor, simply saying, thumbing his nose at the Trump administration and thumbing his nose at a congressional decision which opened this area to mining.
I am stunned. I am stunned at that. I just cannot imagine any human being serving the well-being of others, saying no to the health impact study, saying no to healthy drinking water, and putting money above all else.
Texter says, Governor, forgive me because I'm not familiar with this, but Texter wants to point out that the Eagle Mine in Michigan is a similar safely operating non-ferrous mine. Do you know of that, and is that true?
I don't know of it, and if it were true, the advocates of mining would have used that as an example of how it applies to Minnesota, and they certainly haven't. The result is, as I said, I think since roughly 19, well, certainly for the last 10 years, there's not been a single hearing in the legislature, whether it be Democrat or Republican control, on anything that in any way, shape, or form reforms our mining laws.
You've heard the arguments too that this is the a part of Minnesota that needs these jobs, that needs this influx in development. What do you say to that? To people, the very real need for folks up there to get a job and have a gainful employment.
I think that's a very legitimate concern, but it doesn't mean we poison our water for it.
Yeah.
What it does mean, we start to look at some creative ways in which we can induce industry and business to come to impacted areas of Minnesota. One would be, and I've suggested this a long time ago, and it hasn't produced any kind of discussion, taking operations of government, particularly parts of the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, and maybe pollution control, and moving some of their operations up north. One that would be closer to the clients that they serve and the environment that they serve. And two, I think government operations should be dispersed around the state. And I think that's a start. The other one is to start to toy with the idea of tax inducements. So there's all sorts of ways in which we can grow the economy and grow jobs without destroying our health.
Lastly, and I thank you for the time as always, sir, I follow you on Facebook, and I see your posts from time to time, and I saw a recent one where you were disputing somebody had apparently said you endorsed a candidate, and you were saying you hadn't done that. But I want to ask you, when it comes to the governor of Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, or Lisa Damoth, or U.S. Senate, Peggy Flanagan, Michelle Tafoya, are you endorsing any candidates at this point? Who do you like?
At this point, I am not endorsing. Okay. I've written letters to all of them and asking them to respond to certain inquiries, among them, by the way, the water issue. And so I'm waiting for responses to come back as to what they're going to do to improve the well-being of Minnesotans. And so I think, like all Minnesotans, I'm going to hold my voice back and wait and see what they decide to do. I think the fact that the Republican candidate for governor has come out against the actions taken to protect the BWCA I think that's a disqualifying action on her part.
Can I just ask you one question about your time as governor? Yeah. Did you issue a lot of executive orders? I feel like this is symptomatic of a broken system where we have executives, both the president and now here at the state level, who seem to be end-arounding legislative bodies and administering these executive orders. Was that much of a thing when you were governor? And how do you see this kind of governance?
No, I think you're right. I think it's an example, frankly, of broken government. It truly is. We've got to get money out of politics. There's no question about it. I do remember one executive order that was immensely popular, and that's when I closed schools on a particularly frigid day. To this day, people come up to me and say, I love that one. Can you? And matter of fact, I'll tell you a funny story. My daughter, who paid little attention to politics, her classmates suddenly surrounded her and said, oh, can you ask your father if he can close them tomorrow, too?
Was that the 91 Blizzard, Governor? Was that the 91 Blizzard?
I don't know which one. I don't know what it was, but boy, was it popular.
Yeah.
But no, to your point, government and governance is about forming partnerships and working with people and putting together substantive proposals and ideas that truly benefit the well-being of the public. Right now, 83% of Americans don't trust their government, and 85% of Americans are convinced that elected officials do not care one hoot about what they think. That's an enormous divide, and it's largely caused by the fact that elected officials are beckoning more and more towards big money, and that creates a separation with the very people that they're supposed to serve. I mean, I can send emails to elected officials, and rarely do I get a response.
Yeah. Can't get them on the air anymore.
Stunning. Yeah.
We can't even get them on the air. I used to be able to work, when I worked in the newsroom here, I could call up and get a congressman on the phone and couple minutes. Now it's like, good luck. You can't even get a hold of them.
Yeah, no, we were, you're right, because we as elected officials were very dependent upon you.
Yeah.
But now they're dependent on money so they can run endless ads telling us how virtuous they are.
Let's go. It's me and you. We're going to run next. Let's go. Me and you. Let's announce it. We're going to run again, Arnie. Let's go.
You're wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Governor. I appreciate the time as always, my friend. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
Arnie Carlson, 124, will react to what he had to say. I ran a little long, but it's okay because it's former Governor Arnie Carlson on CCO.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Governor Arne Carlson for joining us on WCCO Radio. Obviously, he has been, he's not been on the fence about mining in Minnesota. He has been completely against it for a long, long time. So he applauds the move of Governor Walz to sign these executive orders to prohibit the further issuance of any kind of permitting. We talked to Tom Hauser in the first segment of the show today. By the way, hello, Adam Carter, in for Chad today. And you can listen to that on the Chad Hartman podcast. He kind of broke it down for us, saying that this was anticipated for quite a while, especially since Congress kind of overturned the Biden ban, which would have allowed mining in that area, one that Pete Stauber, congressman from the 8th District, kind of spearheaded and was approved by many Republicans and honestly some Democrats who are from that area who are banging the drum of the mine, saying this is an economic opportunity, this is a job creator. And at the same time, we've got plenty of people saying this is going to damage our water system. But Tom's point was, too, Hauser's, is like, take a deep breath, because we are still decades away from any kind of mining operation to happen. And whether it's a decision from the Republican administration in Washington or the Democratic administration here in St. Paul, we're going to have many different leaders after that time. And so just to assume that what is said in what kind of announcements are today or what kind of proclamations are made today that are going to be the law of the land for the next 20 years, I think is extremely foolish and naive to believe that. So, but here's my point, and I was going to, before we got Tom, this is going to be my reaction to this, and I'm curious if you feel the same way. Because if I look at Donald Trump in Washington using executive order after executive order to do things without the consent of Congress, meaning the people that we send there to make those decisions, I damn well better be just as upset if the governor of our state is doing the same thing, even though I might agree with him. Like, I honestly, what I know about this mining, and I know we have a texter who continues to say, no, Adam, Arnie's wrong. The copper nickel mine in Eagle, the Eagle mine in the UP has been operating for a number of years. This is safe, blah, blah, blah. I'm with Arnie saying, if jobs is the main point of this and economic development, you can't tell me that there aren't other resources that we can use, other things that we can do to get people to work. And are there, look at the job numbers and the amount of people who have just left the workforce.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just don't want to do any kind of other jobs. Mm-hmm. Like, are these mining jobs or the jobs associated with them some suddenly going to be the one that people say, oh, that looks like a great job, and they're going to move up to, you know, Ely or Bowabic to go up there and do that? I don't know. It doesn't seem to me that that would suddenly be a huge harbinger for people to get work. So,
Do those jobs, sorry to interrupt, if that were to happen, if the mines were to open, are those jobs going to Minnesotans? Are they going to people from around the country that mining is their profession?
Right.
They say, all right, well, I'm heading up to the BWCA.
Right.
We don't know.
No, we know the company isn't. The company is Chile.
Yeah.
So it's going out of the country. It's not even like the dollars would stay in the country. So I have serious speculations about that and serious concerns about the damage it would do to the environment, irreparable damage in the name of a momentary plea for commerce that we might not even benefit from. But the point being, we should have a legislature that makes that decision. And to Arnie's point, he's saying that there's just so much money involved from these folks, whether it's signing those checks to Republicans or Democrats, that it's almost impossible to do that nowadays. Well, then the system is broken, but it doesn't mean I approve of using executive order to do things that we have a state legislature in St. Paul to do. We're going to take a break. 1:32, traffic and weather. Should we eliminate cities? Do we have too many cities in the Twin Cities? Are there way too many cities in the Twin Cities? A reporter from the Star Tribune is suggesting that we might. Let's find out his reasoning after this on CCO.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. According to Ookla speed test, based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this next topic might seem silly, but is it? We always like good food for thought, thinking in different ways. And our next guest has certainly done that. He is Eric Roper. He is a columnist with the Minnesota Star Tribune. He joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And I was drawn to the attention of his new video suggesting that we may have too many cities in the Twin Cities metro area. Eric, thank you for the time. Now, is this an idea that you've heard or that you came up with and said, hey, we're just maybe a little too crowded here?
I'm sure I'm not the first person to have this idea, but...
Well, if you are, congratulations. Yeah.
Okay. I wrote a column about this last year, actually, and then it came up again when I wrote recently about the redevelopment of Les Bolstead Golf Course in Falcon Heights, and someone at the company said, you know, someone who does social video said, oh, you should do a video about what you said in that column, that we have too many cities, because I wrote that in the Les Bolstead column. And I think that it's a topic that doesn't get enough attention. I mean, it's going to be hard to sort of, change the dynamics of, I mean, we have more than 140 municipalities in the Twin Cities metro area. It's going to be hard to change that. But it's something that when we make decisions and we make policy decisions, like, we have to be very cognizant of the fact that we're one of the most fragmented metro areas in the country. And it really impacts a lot of how things operate around here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Compared to similar sized metropolitan areas around the United States, how differently are you say much more fragmented? So like a comparative kind of metro areas don't nearly have the amount of communities that we have?
I mean, so there's examples that are like us, like, I wrote about this last year, there's like a couple different ways that you can slice this. There's a 2010 book about the Twin Cities region and about regionalism. And it says, that book says we have the fifth most fragmented local government structure among the country's top 50 metro areas. And that isn't just cities, that includes like school districts, counties. We have a lot of counties too. And like special government units. So you can break this a number of different ways. I mean, obviously there's places like Pittsburgh, Chicago, have a lot of cities. I think one thing that is especially true here is that not only do we have a lot of cities, but our urban core is also bifurcated. So Unlike a Chicago and a Pittsburgh, we actually have two central cities, which then sort of split apart that population. So that makes us a little unique, but certainly we are one of the most fragmented in the country. And again, there's a lot of different ways you can slice this, but we're up there on the list.
And Eric, what are the problems that result because of it? As an example, your video there at Les Bolstad Golf Course, and now how this is a area that's prime for development and it borders so many different communities that there's really not a straight answer on what to do with it. And there's a number of different governing bodies at play. Explain that.
So there's an okay. So with the Les Bolstad example, it's an interesting one because here we have a project. It's right next to St. Paul. I mean, it's near a bunch of different cities: Roseville, Lauderdale, and it is really a project of regional significance. It's one of the it is the largest urban redevelopment site in the metro area, and so that means that you know this is a big opportunity for our region. We should be really thoughtful about, especially trying to get some density in there because it's near some major population centers, but also ultimately, this is going to get decided by the voters of Falcon Heights, which has a little over 5,000 people that live in it. And, you know, Falcon Heights residents have already said that they are averse to seeing much more density in this part of the city. And we see this around the metro where cities have this immense power to curtail housing, or at least the density of housing that's being built. And this contributes to the affordability problems we see in the metro. And this is why we're seeing at the legislature attempts to rein in some of that power, because there's been a real understanding of the impact that it's having. But think for a second about the huge array of mayors and city council members, et cetera, that come out of the woodwork every time the legislature gets close mm-hmm. to this topic. It's a very powerful force that we don't often talk about. And also the reason why the Metropolitan Council is not as powerful, in my opinion, as it could be, is not as assertive as it could be, because they're up against a huge force from all these municipalities. And then I would just add on to that, sorry to ramble, but, nope. You know, there's also just the sheer inefficiency of it all, right? I mean, how many city halls do we have? How many police departments do we have? How much bureaucracy and additional administrative cost are we layering on by having all these cities? And then on top of all that, there's been studies linking this to income segregation and racial segregation throughout the region, especially through zoning and things like that. So it has a lot of downstream problems. I think people have a lot of pride in their particular city and the name of the city and what have you. But
sure.
We need to be talking more about the problems that come with having so many cities.
We're talking to Eric Roper from the Minnesota Star Tribune. To your knowledge and looking into this, and I'm trying to think, I've obviously lived here most of my life, I unless I'm just missing an obvious example, I'm not sure I can remember a time where, like, we were moving to deincorporate any kind of city, or cities had talked about, you know, merging. Is there any kind of precedence for that here?
I don't, you know, there may have been one-off things, but in any large scale, I'm not really aware of anything like that. And I think that, you know, what we did do was that in the 1960s, we created the Metropolitan Council. We created a regional government. And under statute, the Met Council is the second most powerful regional government in the United States. Number one is Portland. But over the years, the Met Council sort of exists in this zone where they're so on the sort of precipice of losing all of their power because people want to get rid of the Met Council that they sort of pull their punches. And so even though we actually on paper have a regional government that is pretty, you know, strong and could maybe sort of, I mean, I think the Met Council should have more authority to coordinate and over land use and all these things where we're seeing sort of duplication. Like, how can we hand more of this off to a regional government, which we already have? And so that was our response as a region, was not to deincorporate or merge cities, but was to create a regional government. And I would just note that historically, Minnesota had pretty lax laws about municipal incorporation, and that's partly why this happened. And those laws, I believe, are somewhat different today. But historically, you know, how places incorporated from being townships into villages, the sort of threshold for how many people needed to live there was quite low. And so that's partly how we end up in this situation. And our response was we needed to create a regional government. And unfortunately, I don't think people have a ton of faith in the Met Council, but we need to reform the Met Council so that people do have more faith in it, because it's so important.
I was just going to say that, because we're getting texts now like, are you kidding me about the Met Council? So make your pitch for the Met Council, especially, you know, people saying it's an unelected body that they think has too much power already. What would be your ultimate vision for the Met Council?
I mean, think of things like, I'll just throw out an example here. Like, you know, we think about Lyft and Uber and taxi regulations. Like, these are regional services, but we regulate them on a city by city basis. Minimum wage is another one. I mean, these are the things, these are places that my head goes when I think about where could a regional government be more sort of influential. I'm currently looking at the fact that Blaine is about to build a major pro baseball facility.
$700 million.
To make a whole new destination downtown out in Blaine. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, is there like a regional sort of chessboard here? Like, are we actually planning this out in sort of a logical way? Or is it actually more that cities are sort of on their own and each city is sort of clamoring for as much tax base as it can get, which means they give huge tax increment financing handouts to various companies and what have you. Like, I think that when we look at sort of what cities do to sort of like kind of protect themselves and to protect their budgets, I don't know that it always benefits the entire region or has a regional logic to it. So I understand there's complaints about the Met Council. Unfortunately, here, I'd say this, like, the person who really controls the Met Council and the chair of the Met Council is the governor of the state of Minnesota. And unfortunately, I don't think I've heard much from our current governor about what his regional vision is. And he's been in office for a long time. And I think that that's part of the issue. I think there are reforms we should make to the structure of the council, at a minimum, I think staggering the terms so that each governor doesn't just create a whole new Met Council. But also, just like, I think we should acknowledge the governor is the sort of the chair, is really the leader of the region by fact of appointing the Met Council. And so we should demand our governor to explain their regional vision. And I haven't heard it. And I hope that as we get deeper into the governor's race here, that we hear a bit more from the candidates about what their regional vision is, you know?
Eric, thanks for the time. It's great, and certainly an interesting topic. And thanks for bringing it up and coming on the radio today to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Eric Roper from the Minnesota Star Tribune. Should we just go down the list, Dave, starting with Anoka and stay or go? Anoka?
Going alphabetically?
Going alphabetically. Should we turn this into a wrong answers only? Which cities need to go away?
Let's roll it.
651-461-9226. Which cities here in the Minneapolis, St. Paul, greater metro area need to go away or just blend with another city? We'll have your reaction to that after this on CCO. 153, that is your Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to help protect your home from clogs, overflow, and uncontrolled rainwater with LeafGuard brand gutters. Installation labor free in August. LindusConstruction.com. Started out talking about, which do we need, you know, 100-some cities in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area. Then Eric Roper kind of went into a support for a strong Met Council. And obviously, I didn't know it was going to turn into a conversation about the Met Council, but boy, you bring up Met Council, you get a lot of strong opinions.
Yeah, you do.
And usually they're not good ones, because we're talking about trains that go to nowhere, trains that aren't being ridden.
Trains that aren't yet built.
Trains that aren't yet built, unelected officials. But yet we get another text that says this: people would not like to see our region without the Metropolitan Council. I get it. I don't know. I mean, we could do show after show after show every day on the theory of the Met Council and whether or not it's worth it to have. But back to his original point about cities or whether or not we need so many cities, I would argue we do not. And that especially if they have their own city halls. I mean, look at the police. How many departments are finding it difficult to hire officers? And how many departments, certainly not just in the metro area, but in outstate Minnesota, greater Minnesota. I said outstate Minnesota. Careful. That simply say we can't have a police department anymore.
Would you have guessed over 140 individual towns within whatever, you know, would draw your line, what constitutes the Twin Cities metro area. But I heard over 140. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Now, that's all on the fringes, too, where we've got kind of like we just looked at the map during the break, like Willerney. Like Willerney is on the south end of White Bear Lake. And it's by, you know, Matamidi and kind of between White Bear Lake and Delwood. And but, yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that much. And I think probably some people would argue, because I think like Northfield is listed there. Like, is really Northfield considered Twin Cities metro area?
It's getting down there.
That's getting down there.
Yeah.
But like Empire and Farmington now, which is just south of me, those are certainly, that's metro area now. That didn't used to be, but that absolutely is.
So let's make a rule right now. If your population is under 5,000, you got to join up with somebody
else. You got to join up with somebody
else. You got to join. Right. Yeah, sorry.
Somebody, first text, Rosemount needs to go.
Ooh. Wow.
Hilltop. Where's Hilltop?
It's near the top of the hill, I think.
Crystal and Oakdale are armpits of the metro. Jeez. Well, kind of position-wise, yes, if they're kind of inside the, let's say the arms are 494 and 694 going around, or I guess that would be 694 on the top. Maybe they are positioned to be that.
Hilltop, just on the north end of Columbia Heights. Very small, it looks like.
Officially renamed Golden Valley and St. Louis Park into Westopolis. Bill from West St. Paul says, nuke South St. Paul. Wow, that's I would say the other way around.
Okay, buddy.
Buddy boy. West St. Paul, yes, we all realize West St. Paul is not technically west of St. Paul. It's actually south of St. Paul. Edina. Just on general principle.
We're basically all just going back to high school with this conversation, right? All the rivals, get them off the
map.
Exactly,
right, yeah. Minneapolis needs to go. The most dysfunctional major city in the state. Just play a council meeting. It's obvious. Met Council should be dismantled first. Taxation without representation. I know you're giving plenty of people an opportunity to hate on Minneapolis, but Minneapolis is vitally important. And a Minnesota without Minneapolis would be a pretty boring place to be. Back to the topic. It was 16 years ago today. Brett Favre came back for another season with the Vikings. That didn't go so well. Other people who have come back that shouldn't have. 651-461-9226. We'll get to that next hour.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet Reliant 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.